Hello, respective viewers, this is George Mylan, so welcome back to my channel once more. And so this time I'm talking about Ukraine's attacks on Russia. So not just when Ukraine's fighting in its own territory to expel the invaders, but when they're actually crossing the international border into the Russian Federation itself. So the best form of defense is attack, they often say, and the Ukrainians are going to say, well, you've been invading us since 2014, and indeed even before that, attempting to murder the Ukrainian president, Yushchenko, and so on, interfering in elections. So obviously, if you don't respect our border, we shan't respect yours. And your bases are there and things like that. So make it more difficult for the Russians to prosecute their war of illegal aggression in Ukraine. And obviously firing drones into Russia. Just yesterday, the Russians claimed they downed three drones in the Kaluga region, which is a few hundred kilometers from the Russian border. Anyway, but they didn't manage to do any harm. Now, is that true? Probably true. But I mean, there have been several drone attacks already in Kaluga this month. And so many drone attacks on Moscow, sort of lost count. It's about a dozen now. But these are doing almost no damage. The city of 14 million people, Muscovites just appear to shrug it off. So questions, is it worthwhile? Okay, it shows that the Russians that, you know, this is not a special military operation, this is a war, you're in danger, you weren't in danger before. One of Putin's central planks for justifying his war of illegal and unprovoked aggression is making Russia safer. But wait a second, you never had drone attacks in Russia ever before, but now you do. All right, they had worse attacks, even in recent decades, bomb attacks by Chechen separatists, which killed dozens of people. And obviously there've been incursions over the border. The Ukrainians attacking into Belgorod region in particular. Now the Ukrainians often say, well, it's not really us, it's the Freedom of Russia Legion, various other anti-Putin Russian outfits who want to overthrow him, who've made common cause with Ukraine, have got a different Russian flag and things like that. But this is the Russians were able to contain this fairly easily. They've attacked into Bryanskaya region and so on. So is it just a silly diversion of resources for the Ukrainians, who should maybe be putting it all into the counteroffensive in southern Ukraine, in Zaporizhia region? You know, we've only gone forward something like 12 miles in 2.5 months. Another thing, I was reading about this the other day, that front line is about 650 miles. And the Western Front in the First World War was at about 450 miles, and their trenches almost all the way. One of the things about how technology has developed is that surprise is almost impossible. Because of spy satellites, you can see build-up of troops. And if you're going to have a significant offensive, you need to gather the troops, and therefore the tanks, the artillery, the trucks, the whatever, before you go forward. And you can't do that in a matter of hours. So the Russians have a very good idea where the main thrust is coming and can move reinforcements there. Obviously, the same thing happened when Russia was attacking Ukraine. You could see the build-up for months. Even then, the Ukrainians were rather haphazard and didn't prepare properly, didn't blow up bridges, dig anti-tank ditches like they ought to have done, just hoping against hope it wasn't going to happen, which was rather rash. If they had, maybe it wouldn't have happened. So the FSB, that's Federalna Služba Bezpečnosti, the Federal Security Service, they have their border agents, and they were trying to protect Russia's western border from Ukraine. Their National Guard units, that was only set up in about 2016, and they were trying to fend off Ukrainians who are crossing over the border into western Russia. But on the other hand, is this good? Because for Ukraine, it keeps the Russians off balance. They have to divert troops to try and defend their frontier, who otherwise would be invading into Ukraine. The other thing about these attacks on Russian cities, even artillery strikes and some of the small towns in Belgorod, is they do almost no damage to the Russian military. They very often hit civilian targets. Sometimes they just miss. Often the drones are shot down and hit a building, but they actually have very small warheads. Unless they really hit what they're meant to hit, like a tank or an army barracks, the actual right room, they will, you know, they'll blow out a few bricks, they'll smash the windows, they might damage the roof, something like that. They can't take down a building. You need, obviously, major, really big missiles for that, like Tomahawk missiles and things like that, which the Ukrainians just don't have. So imagine they concentrated all that fire on Russian troops in Ukraine. then that would actually work much better for them. And obviously they are using some drones against the Russian troops in Ukraine. But maybe it simply stiffens the spine of the Russians and their will to keep going is there. And there's absolutely no sign that Russia's resolve is fraying because of this. Remember, Ukraine's been under a much heavier bombardment for far longer, and it hasn't broken their morale. Because that general who's been resting since the attempted coup d'etat 2 months ago, what's his name? Oh my God, it escapes me. Sorovikin. He said his message to Putin was, you know, last November, okay, let's concentrate on taking down the energy infrastructure in Ukraine. You know, we're going for electricity substations, power stations that have no heating, they'll be freezing to death, and they will just run up the white flag. They'll capitulate because we'll just be freezing to death. Admittedly, there was a military rationale as well, because the railways largely run on electricity. So much of Ukrainian munitions are distributed through the railways, so it would take out their transport network. But anyway, that didn't work. And it's not true to say that it didn't demoralize people at all. It's a bit like in the United Kingdom, there's this myth about the Second World War. Oh, the Blitz, that only made us even more determined, and we were never afraid, and we were always gallant. And all right, there are some people like that. But there are other people who do become dispirited, who start moaning, oh, we just want to give up. Please don't hurt us anything for an ordinary life. And who are not quite so gallant. And people who are rather irresolute. And obviously the people who are somewhere in between. And the longer it goes on, the more and more demoralized people are going to come. But there's no end in sight, and you're not clearly winning, then a morale starts to flag. In Ukraine, I think there's a long way from breaking them. But when this offensive fails, it almost uncertainly is going to fail by the end of November 2023, I think there'll probably be more grumbling, more people saying, can we really afford to go on paying this sort of price for this sort of gain, just to go forward a few kilometers? And there may be more talks. Remember, there were talks on the 5th of August this year in Jeddah, Saudi Arabia. The Arab League was there, but Ukraine and the delegations of various other countries were there, pro-Ukrainian countries, neutral countries, to discuss the Ukraine conflict. Russia and Belarus were not invited. Was it pointless? I mean, I'm afraid to say it probably fairly was pointless, but maybe it was a little bit useful from a Ukrainian point of view to send a message that Russia is excluded. You're outside the councils of the world for these reasons. If you want to rejoin the Comity of Nations fully, you have to withdraw from Ukraine. There was a fascinating poll out in the United States last week that the majority of Americans now want to reduce military aid to Ukraine. A few of them want to cut it off completely, but just reduce it. And that's only going to grow the longer the war goes on. So that is a very worrying signal from a Ukrainian perspective. And obviously, the Ruskies will be rubbing their hands in glee, because this is what they're banking on. That they couldn't achieve a blitzkrieg victory if they can string it out. They said the West is the attention span of a mayfly, and they will eventually give up. They will grow tired of paying the price and obviously risking a nuclear exchange. So hoping that Biden loses, a Republican comes to office, they think Trump failing him. Ron DeSantis has talked about cutting off Ukraine. Vivek Ramaswamy said he would definitely not give them anything. And that would be the end of the Ukrainian war effort. 80% of the military aid comes to the United States. Western European countries are just not giving anything like enough. And the United States can quite reasonably say this is a European war. It's not more on the American continent. If you care about Ukraine, you guys have to stump up. You've been very tight-fisted. France has given very, very little in relation to its size of population and economy. And that would work for Putin. But that means keeping the war going for a year and a half, which he could do. As I say, I think Point Break is going to come summer next year, when it might be coming unaffordable for Russia. The trouble is, what is affordable? Is he willing to significantly lower living standards? It's only hurt them a little bit. Inflation has sped up a little bit. They've had to raise interest rates. The ruble's now something like is 105 to the dollar. But, you know, that's not that bad. They had worse 30 years ago. But, yeah, it is the worst since the early 90s. It's going to get worse. The oil price cap is semi-effective, but it could go either way with oil prices and various other factors. How bad is this winter? Is it going to hurt Western Europeans too much? Oil and gas prices? They thought that Germany and Italy were beating a path to Moscow's door, saying, okay, we'll throw the Ukrainians under a bus. Please just give us the cheap oil and gas. And that didn't happen. It could happen this coming winter, depending on its severity. Anyway, so thank you so much for watching my channel. Please subscribe on Patreon, donate on PayPal, georgecallahan79@gmail.com. I really need your donations to keep the channel going. Goodbye.